just wrote a sad article about a girl who found out that her stepdad killed her mom and all of her step-siblings.
Oh, okay. Why would you do that?
Because I like to make myself sad.
Apparently.
Florida student 10.
Oh, well, that's Florida. They're a different breed over there.
Well, I mean, he was arrested for threatening shooting at an elementary school. Why would you do that? Okay.
Because killing kids is cool nowadays, apparently.
Apparently so. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Future is Bright? I am Lindsay.
I'm Bridget.
I have a bug bite behind my ear, and it is bothering me to no end. So that's what I have going on.
Love that for you.
What about you? Anything going on?
Not really, not particularly.
Just bug bite season, you know? Bug bite season, allergy season.
Everybody has a cold season.
Yeah, apparently. You know. It's fine. It's allergy season. What do we got going on? Nothing? Bridget just popped a drink. I didn't.
Popped a drink?
Yeah. Isn't that like... Nah.
No,
I guess it's not the right words.
It's okay, though. It says, yeah. My cup says, have a magical day.
So, there you go. Have a magical day.
Do that.
I don't know. Is there anything going on that we need to talk about?
I mean... I feel like everything is, like, old news. Right. Although, I'm just as angry about everything, so...
So, I feel like we always will be just as angry. Nothing's gonna get better.
Nope.
So...
Just let all the little kids in the world die. Yeah. Seems like a good idea to me.
Right. We gotta fight for...
Our rights. To party.
You would think that we've been, like, drinking, but we both are just tired today.
Pretty much.
It's Monday. It's Memorial Day, so happy Memorial Day.
It is Memorial Day.
Yeah, so thank you to all of those who have sacrificed their lives for us.
You killed that, because I would not have remembered that it was Memorial
Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why we're here early today. So it's only 6:30. Like, I would just be getting here on a normal day.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm trying to get comfortable. I'm not really comfortable right now. And I don't know why, but it's okay. I don't know. There's nothing else to say. Should I start my case then?
For school. If you guys hear tapping, that's absolutely not that.
Yeah, we're just literally doing homework right now. And,
no, I literally had to just change something, and then I'm just going to send
it. Did you forget that you had to do homework?
No, I knew that I had to do it. I just don't feel like waiting, because I know that later, if I don't do it right this second, I'm going to forget. So.
Okay.
Also, I just want to make sure that we could hear both of us. Just...
Okay. Okay, there we go.
I haven't done that in a while. Marty, that one's for you.
Oh, I forgot about him. Bridget burped. I coughed. It's allergy season, guys. You're going to have to deal with that. All right. So, I'm putting a preface on this that this case is from Japan. So, my pronunciation in real life absolutely sucks. Well, in any case, sucks. But now I'm trying to pronounce Japanese words. So, we're just going to say good luck. And I don't mean
any
harm.
Are the names Japanese?
Yes, but they're relatively easy.
Okay.
So, I'm thinking I'm not going to make any mistakes with that.
Gotcha.
But if I do, I'm sorry. And I apologize.
We get it.
If you hear my pages turning, it's because I still print out all my notes. And that's how I turn the page. So, there we go. Okay. So,
like you said, and that's how I turn the page, as if, like...
Well, because I feel like most people probably have, like, iPads or laptops. Meanwhile, I'm just sprawled out laying on your couch with these papers in my hand, and I throw them when I'm done with the page, so there we go. Okay. So, at 10:40 a.m. on December 31st, 2000, the bodies of 44-year-old Miko Miyazawa and his 41-year-old Yasuko and their children, 8-year-old Nina.
You just said these were easy names.
Nina has two eyes, so I'm not really sure if I'm pronouncing
it. Most people do.
Nina?
No, have two eyes.
You're an idiot. No, like, it's like, yeah. N-I-I-N-A, so I don't know if I'm, like, saying that right,
yeah.
But I'm gonna say
it. Yeah.
And then also she has a brother named, 6-year-old named Rei, R-E-I, so. They were discovered by Yasuko's mother, Haruko, in their house in the, oh my gosh, in the Kamishoshiaga neighborhood.
That sounds
right.
Japanese.
Pretty good, right?
So.
Of Setsuyaga, which is in the western suburbs of Tokyo. So, Miko, Yasuko, and Nina had all been stabbed to death while Ray had been strangled.
That's fun.
Yeah. So, now that I've explained that they all died, I'm going to take a giant step back and talk, like, about their lives and
so,
all that
like,
stuff.
So, like, before they were dead.
Right, yeah. So, basically, obviously, New Year's Eve for everyone is typically a joyous occasion, and it's generally known as, like, a time to start fresh. And, in Japan, it's known as Omisoka, which is, it's pretty much one of the most important holidays because it's again,
like, renewal.
Right, to start fresh, and it's known as one of the most prestigious holidays. Obviously, the New Year's Eve of 2000 was much different because an entire family in a small suburb of Tokyo was murdered. So the Maizawa, I will get better at that as it goes on, family, their family was known as a typical Japanese family. Miko worked for Interbrand, which was a London-based marketing company, and was described by coworkers as, quote, the kind of guy that got on well with everyone and was not really one to make any enemies. Mm-hmm. Yusuko was a kind and compassionate woman who was a teacher who also spent a lot of time with her children. Nina was the typical second grader girl who was known for being very active and athletic. And Ray was the youngest of the family. He was 6 and he was actually dealing with a speech impediment at the time. And it was actually causing the family a lot of, like, worry and issues.
His speech impediment?
Yeah. And the family was, at the time of his death, they were seeking out professional help, but it was, like, one of their biggest, like, worries, I guess, because, like, it's, like, something's not going right, so they, you know.
Just, yeah, typical.
So, Miko and Yasuko moved to the Setagaya area. I'm really sorry about all my pronunciations. They moved to that area in 1990, and then they settled into a home that was very interesting in itself. The home was a shared building that was split into two, so on the outside it looked like a house, but it was much closer to, like, a duplex-looking thing.
Okay.
But it allowed the family to live next door to Yasuko's family. So it was her mother, Haruko, her sister, and her brother-in-law all living in the same house. I guess.
Like, area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It allowed all 7 family members to live in the shared area, but there was no internal connection between the houses. So to get from one side to the other, you had to go outside and enter through another door.
Right.
So, like, it was, like, they were separate, yeah. You know. It was kind of like an apartment.
Like, it wasn't like one of those hotels where there's, like, the door connecting
right.
the
no,
two
No, it was, like,
yeah.
I would consider it, like, apartments. Like,
yeah,
2
yeah,
separate
yeah.
apartments. So the most impacting factor, I guess, about this house was that there was a park right behind it. The park had been there for years now, but the city had been planning on expanding it, so many of their neighbors had been moving out in the recent months to make way for the expansion. So due to this, like, expansion, the community had narrowed down from 200 families in their neighborhood to just 4.
Jesus.
Yeah. So it was the Maizawas, their relatives next door, and then 2 other families that lived on the street, and that was
Sheesh.
It.
How do you, like...
Yeah.
Pick.
Right. Like, well, I was reading that it was, like, their house was, like, one of the last ones in the expansion. Like, there was a skate park right behind their house.
Okay.
And, like, it hadn't, like, expanded yet, and that's why they hadn't left. But they were, like, looking to leave within the next couple of months because
gotcha.
It was getting to the point, like, you know. Most of the activity that was happening was in the skate park that was located right behind their house. In the week leading up to New Year's Eve, Miko had confronted a group of loud, obnoxious teenagers for making too much of a racket at the skate park. And at the same time, a witness reports seeing him confront a group of young rebels that belong to the Bozozuko, which is a Japanese motorcycle gang of sorts.
Cute, that's a sick fucking name.
Yeah.
I love that.
So basically, these poor kids and bad people were wreaking havoc on their property, basically. The week before New Year's Eve would be known for some unusual experiences for this family. Basically, in the summer months leading up to, like, the week before, they had started to notice that there was animals being physically tormented. So, like, there's a lot of rumors, and it's hard for me to read because most of the articles were in Japanese. So, like, from, like, what I can read, it said that there's rodents that had been found killed, and even, like, local cats that were mostly, like, strays tortured, like, their tails cut off, that kind of stuff.
Ooh.
So, like, that's, like, the weird issues that they, like, you know, were finding. But then also on December 25th, Yasuko mentioned to her father-in-law that a strange car had been parking in front of their house. This happened on several occasions, and it was weird because, where am I at? Oh, no.
Did you announce that word?
I think so. No, I didn't. I just probably deleted half the sentence.
Oh, no.
Okay, so what was weird about it was because there was a parking lot that was much closer to the skate park, and the person who parked in front of, like, their house wouldn't have had to, they would have to jump over a fence to get to the skate park if they parked in front of their house.
Like, meanwhile, for that.
Right, but if they parked in the, skate park parking lot, I guess, they wouldn't have to park. So, like,
so it just kind of made no sense that some rando, who assumingly was going to the
skate
park.
Right, and that's what Yasuko and, like, her family was assuming, that they were going to the skate park. So it was, like, weird that they were parking,
like,
there.
Like, why would they park there? It would make it more difficult.
Right. So it was weird enough that she made, like, note of it and, like, told her parents about it. And then on December 27th, a man estimated to be in his 40s was seen walking around the Maizawa family home by an eyewitness. So, like, just, like, an unknown man. So, 2 days later, basically, on December 27th, there was an eyewitness. I guess I would assume it's probably neighbors who are, like, seeing all this stuff.
Right.
So, a man estimated to be in his 40s was seen walking around their family home. Now, he could have just been going to the park, could have just been taking
a
walk.
Not in the home, like, outside.
Yeah, just outside the home. Okay, and then on December 29th, which was the day before, a man was spotted by the nearby, I'm really sorry about this.
All right, here we go.
Nearby Shijugo, I'm just gonna say a nearby train station, because there's no way.
How do you spell it? Spell it.
S-E-I-J-O-G. A K U E N M A E.
Yeah, you lost me at the second G.
Yeah. So, at a local train station, it was just a few miles from where the family lives. They said he was, quote, skater. He was in a, quote, skater type outfit.
I would love to know what that means for, like, the Japanese culture.
Yeah.
Because, like, what I'm thinking, like, in my head is definitely not what it is.
Right. It's so funny to me because, like, you have to put yourself in. Like, it's a totally different culture.
Yeah.
And also, it's 2000.
Good point. I was going to say, like, is it that odd for somebody to be walking around, like, a house of that? Because, like, I know in Japanese, like, their houses are super close together, so it's like.
But if you think about it, there's only four neighbors. So there's only four houses.
That's true.
In the neighborhood. So
I'm looking up what Japanese skater fashion is.
Yeah. They said it was odd due to the weather, and that they thought that this person was very underdressed.
Okay.
So he stuck out to them.
Gotcha.
And then it was also on this day on May.
No, I'm sorry, but they're kind of sick.
Are they? Let me see.
It's kind of sick.
Is it scary looking?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's kind of what I would expect.
It's kind of sick.
Yeah. So on also December 29th, the police believe a man matching this rough description purchased a sashimi knife from the same shopping area, and it was the only one purchased on that day, so it was, like, easy to trace. So, like...
Okay.
They're not really saying that, like... So then, the next day, on December 30th, a man matching this same description was spotted near the Sangawa station, which is roughly a mile near where they lived.
Okay.
They're not saying this person was, like, a suspect.
But it's, like...
He's never named a suspect, but, like, this is, like, just the one
person. Do we know who the person is?
No.
Oh, okay.
You won't. There's, to this day, this murder has not been found. So, yeah. Yeah, so they're just, like, kind of naming, like, it could have been this scare-looking kid.
Weird person that was walking around.
Yeah. Which, you know, to me, I'm like, that's a little, like, weird, but...
Yeah, if we don't have a name for the person,
Right.
Don't want to tell you.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about the day of the murder. Sometime in the early evening, around 6, the family went shopping. It can't be known if all of the family went or, like, who went, but, eyewitnesses recall seeing them near the shopping center, so, like,
yeah,
at least one, like, you know, someone in the family
was
went
there,
shopping.
Yeah.
And then a neighbor recalled driving past the house around 6:30 and didn't see their car, so that's kind of how they started that timeline.
Okay.
And then at around 7, Yasuko called her mom next door, and the conversation likely ended up being about Nina, because, Nina visiting her grandma, because then Nina went next door and watched a recorded program until about 9:30 or so with her grandma.
Okay.
So up until this time, everything was relatively normal for the Miyazawa family.
Right.
The last recorded activity for that family was on an accessed email, which was read at around 10:38 that evening. And it was an email that Miko read. It was a work email, and it was a password-protected email, which means that it was most definitely probably him who read it, because he was the only one that had that, you know.
Like, had access to it.
this is the last moment that we know of. That at least one member of the family was alive.
Why? Because he, like, logged into it?
Yeah, because he had so, like, in order to read the email, he had to enter a password.
So that was, like, logged.
Yeah.
That he entered the password.
So, okay, yeah. At around 10 that evening, a witness walking along the park path behind their house heard what sounded like an argument taking place inside the house. They didn't really recall any loud physical noises or any, like, loud screams, but they said it sounded like a couple, like, arguing and, like, something starting to, like, quote, heat up, they said.
Yeah.
About an hour and a half later, a member of Yasuku's family next door heard loud banging, a loud banging sound coming from the side of their building. They weren't sure of the exact time, but they were able to estimate it based on the television show that they were watching. So, like,
okay.
They said it was, like, probably around 11. So, 11:30. This is around the same time that an eyewitness recalled seeing a man hurrying along a walking path that traveled next to the family's house.
Okay.
So, like, it's so weird that there's so many eyewitnesses. Like, you never hear, like, this many eyewitnesses. Like...
And, well... Yeah. Well, there was, like,
But it's especially, a park, which makes sense.
Yeah, but especially, like, a lot of eyewitnesses, and, like, this case hasn't been solved.
I was just gonna say.
So, like...
It makes no sense, but... So, they saw someone walking along a path, but... So, two loud noises and some... Yes.
Well, see, that's the other thing, is, like, if there's a path right by their house, like...
Right.
Fucking anybody could be walking.
Right. So, the three things that were, like, amiss were the two loud noises and the person being seen. That was the only signs that something was amiss. The actual terror that was unleashed would not be discovered for hours.
That was a very dramatic sentence.
I know. Thank you. So, within a close proximity, I'm not really sure, like, the actual distance to the house, a taxi driver, this is, like, a side note story. We don't really know if it's, like, related, but
could
be, could not be, who knows. A taxi driver picked up 3 passengers. All were nameless middle-aged men because he didn't ask, like, the names. Because why would you?
Yeah.
They all remained quiet throughout the drive. The taxi driver recalled this being kind of odd because of it was much past midnight, so he kind of, I guess, expected maybe that they would be drunk or, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And that these 3 men were being dropped off at a station, like, not too far away. And one of the men had a wound on him, and it left a blood stain in the back seat of the cab.
Ugh. Yuck.
So, obviously, the driver, yeah.
What year is this?
2000.
Exactly 2000.
Right, yes, okay. Yeah. It's, like, December 30th, 2000, okay. So. Obviously, the driver did, like, find this weird, but he didn't really think, like, anything of it. Like, he didn't panic. He didn't panic until he heard the news of, like, what was going on.
I've been like, bro, what the fuck yeah. in my car with your bleeding wound, you fucking weirdo.
Maybe he didn't notice until after he got out of the car.
Probably not, you know? Still.
Yeah, so, that's just a little side note, sorry. So then on December 31st of, December 31st, New Year's Eve, mm-hmm. Yasuko's mother tried calling her daughter's family to make plans for later that afternoon, but no call would go through, because unbeknownst to her, the phone lines in the family house had been purposely cut by someone hours beforehand.
Oh, so this was, like, pre-thought out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this
just
was
gonna... Just wait,
oh, boy. Okay. Yeah. Oh, we're just getting started.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. She traveled outside. Excuse me. She traveled outside and walked over to the house, obviously, because it's right next door. And then she rang the doorbell, and there was no answer.
So you should have to call somebody that was right next door to her?
Yeah, I guess because, like, not to walk into their house and be like, hey. I usually text my next door neighbors and be like, hey, if I hear something outside, and, like, I'll text her and be like, did you hear that? Like, most of the time, it's, like, because sometimes there's, like, random people who play this really loud music. So, like, I text her, like, are you hearing that? And then we just, like, argue about how it's, like, loud music for a fucking Monday. But,
okay.
Yeah. Anyway. So then she rang the doorbell, and they didn't answer. So, once they didn't answer, she used her set of house keys to let herself in.
As I would.
Yeah. The house itself was silent, but Yusuku's mother entered the house and undoubtedly knew that something was wrong. Like, it was pretty much, right. like, too quiet, you know?
Like, creepy quiet.
Right. As she began to walk through the house, she came across the body of Mayuko. Yeah, that sounded more Japanese than the first time I said it. So,
that was really good.
Mayuko Mayuzawa. That was really pretty good. and he was at the bottom of the staircase. He was the father, and he was stabbed multiple times and was lying lifeless at the bottom of the stairs leading up to the second floor.
Okay.
So she obviously, like, they make note of it that she obviously, like, touched the body because she was, like, right. shocked and, you know, right. whatever. So then she goes upstairs to try to find the rest of her family. Immediately... At the top of the stairs, she would find the bodies of her daughter, Yasuko, and her granddaughter, Nina, both whom have been brutally stabbed dozens of times, jeez. Surpassing the level, like, the amount of times that Mayuko's body received. So, much more.
Yeah.
And then in a nearby bedroom, Yasuko's mother would be confronted with the final body, which would be Ray. Ray was still in bed, and he had been strangled to death, leading investigators to think that he had been the first family member to have been killed.
Okay.
So, of course, her mother decided to call the police upon finding all these bodies. And then this is kind of, I shortened it to, like, what the police found. And
right.
This was their gruesome discovery.
Okay.
This is what the conclusion that they came through to of what, like, how the killer
did
went about
thing.
His thing. Yeah. So he entered through the open window in the second floor bathroom towards the rear of the house, which is located pretty much adjacent to the park.
Okay.
And they believe that he gained access by climbing a tree and then removing the window screen. He then used his bare hands to strangle Ray, which he was sleeping on his in his room on the second floor, killing him through asphyxiation. They think Mayiko rushed up the first floor stairs after he detected the disturbance in Ray's room, fighting and then injuring the killer until being stabbed in the head with a sashimi knife.
Oh.
There we go. I told you it would come in handy.
Oh, boy.
A sashimi bochu knife, which I don't know what that means, but I'm just going to say it's sashimi. A police report claimed that a part of the sashimi's knife blade broke off into inside Mayiko's head. The killer then attacked Yasuko and Nina with the broken knife until using their a santoku knife from the house to murder them. So, because his knife broke, he took a knife from their own house to murder the rest of the family.
You look up what a sashimi knife looks like?
No.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
Look how big it is, though. Wait. Huh.
I knew it was a sushi knife. It's sashimi. Sounds like sushi.
Isn't?
That looks like sushi.
No, I know, but isn't that a type of sushi?
I think don't so. Eat sushi, so. Neither do I, but I think that is. Yeah. What can you look up what a santoku knife is?
What you're asking.
Santoku. I don't know if it's like another long knife or it's just because like I'm imagining it to be like a steak knife, but it's probably not.
It's more of like a like a
like a steak knife.
Like that.
Oh, butcher knife.
Yeah. Okay. Butcher.
Okay. So then.
Anyway.
The killer remained inside the house for between 2 to 10 hours.
How the fuck do they know
using
that?
The family's computer, consuming 4 bottles of barley tea, melon, 4 ice creams from their refrigerator, using their toilet, leaving his feces in it without flushing, treating his injuries using a first aid kit, using other sanitary products, taking a nap on the sofa in the second floor living room. Drawers and papers were ransacked, with some being dumped in the bath and the toilet. Some money was taken, although more was left behind. And then surprisingly, the killer left 10 items behind.
What did this guy move in?
He left a knife, a muffler, a hip bag, a sweater, jacket, hat, gloves, shoes, and 2 handkerchiefs.
Okay, first of all, it's weird. Second of all, yeah. Stupid. Third of all, how is this guy not caught? How much more evidence?
Right.
How much more fucking DNA?
He did leave a bunch of DNA, but they
They not have like coda or something.
They did, but he wasn't in the system, so he wasn't convicted of a crime before.
I gotta vomit.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
So, an analysis of Miko's computer revealed that he had connected to the internet in the morning after the murders around 1:18 a.m. and then again at around 10 a.m. So that's how they get the, like, time period. Around the time... Oh, God, that's terrifying. Around the time Yasuko's mother, Haruko, entered the house to discover the murders.
So as
she pretty much as she was in, he was coming out. Yeah.
That's wild.
Haruko became suspicious after she wasn't able to call her daughter, like I said. Authorities believe the killer had stayed in the house until at least 1:18 a.m., but the computer usage at 10 a.m. could have accidentally... So, they believe that he stayed until at least 1:18, but they can't say that he stayed until 10 a.m.
Like then, yeah.
Because the computer usage at 10 a.m. could have been used by Haruko once she was trying to, like, find the families, basically.
Right.
Police have been able to deduce several very specific clues to the perpetrator's identity, but they've been unable to produce or apprehend a suspect. It was determined that the killer had eaten string beans and sesame seeds the previous day after analyzing his feces, but also it's Japan, so that's, like, the most common,
it's
like
in everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So they, from his bath, his feces... They determined that the clothes and the sashimi knife left behind by the killer had been purchased in the Kanagawa Prefecture, which is like a shopping center, I guess.
Right.
I can't say it's the same shopping center that they thought you know, from previous. The police also learned that only 130 units of the killer's sweater were made and sold, but they've only been able to track down 12 of the people who brought the sweaters. So, that's annoying. Trace amounts of sand were also found inside the hip bag, which I'm assuming a hip bag is kind of like a fanny pack. Like a fanny pack? Yeah. That the perpetrator left the scene, which after analysis, the term came from a Nevada desert. More exactly the area of Edwards Air Force Base in California. So the reason that this man might not have been caught because he might have been an American. So, yeah. Huh. Investigators found the killer's DNA and fingerprints throughout the house, but none matched their databases, indicating that they do not have a criminal record in Japan. Physically, the killer is believed to be around 170 centimeters tall and of thin build. The police estimate the killer...
But, like, hold on, I'm sorry, I'm going back to this American guy point.
Yes.
Don't you think that that would have been, like, way more fucking obvious to anybody and everybody that was around?
I would say so, but I'm gonna go, like, let me read my next part, because okay. No, it's okay. I need your, like, opinion on it, because they talk about his DNA, so I need to know if, like, what they say about his DNA means like he's Japanese or he's American.
Okay.
Because I read it as he's American, but, like...
But I feel like, hello, like, if you saw an American guy walking around a Japanese home, it's
right,
like,
but nobody said anything.
Belong, and then...
I don't know, but maybe he, like, just wore a hat or wore something to, like...
I feel like you could tell the difference.
I don't know.
Unless he was Japanese, but he was from America.
Right. Isn't it a thing in, like, Japan, like, way before, like, COVID and stuff, that they wore masks?
They did, yeah.
So, like, maybe he would just wear masks.
I was just gonna say something really bad, but it's bad.
Yeah.
Masks don't go over your eyes.
Right. I don't know. But let me keep going, and then we'll...
Or, like, your hair, even, like, most Japanese people
but
have,
if
like,
he was wearing a skater, like a hat, skater guy.
Like a hat.
Yeah. Okay. So, he was around 170 centimeters tall and thin built. He was born between 1965 and 1985, so 15 to 35 years old at the time of the incident. And due to the physicality required to enter the house, like, he was, like, a fit.
Mm-hmm.
And due to the wounds, they indicate that he was probably right-handed.
Okay.
The killer's blood was gained during the analysis of the murder scene, revealed traces of type A blood, which would not have belonged to anyone in the family. sorry, I'm, like, I need to take a drink, but I don't want to, so that's
okay.
A DNA, so this might help us in determining what this could be. A DNA analysis of the type A blood determines that the killer is a male and possibly mixed race, with maternal DNA indicating a mother of European descent, possibly from South European country near the Mediterranean or hold on. Adriatic Sea? Is that a thing? Adriatic? I don't know what that is. Something Sea. Mediterranean Sea or Adriatic Sea.
Sure.
And a paternal DNA indicating the father is of East Asian descent. So, the mother is white, is basically what I'm reading it as, but the father is Asian.
Yeah.
So, it's considered possible that the European maternal DNA comes from a distant ancestor from the mother's line rather than a fully European mother, so like it's like a distant relative but still could be. An analysis of the Y chromosome showed that the haplogroup group O-M122, which is a common haplogroup distributed in the East Asian people, appearing in 1 in 4 or 5 Koreans, and 1 in 10 Chinese, and 1 in 10 Japanese.
So he was of Asian descent.
Right. These results led to TMPD, which is, I'm assuming, Tokyo Police.
Yeah. Sure.
To seek assistance through International Criminal Peace Organization because the killer may not be Japanese or present in Japan.
Right.
Because of this half.
White.
Right. The investigation into the murders is among the largest in Japanese history, and it involves... It's involving over 246,000 investigators who have collected who have collected over 12,545 pieces of evidence, all related to the case.
What the fuck?
And it still, to this day, remains in custody. In 2015, it was reported that 40 officers were assigned to the case full-time, and in 2019... It was reported that 35 officers. So if you think about it, 19 years later, there's still 35 officers are still assigned to the case full time.
That's a little bananas bonkers.
Yeah. Every year, the TMPD makes a pilgrimage to the house for a memorial ceremony. And then Takeshi... My gosh, I feel so bad because I'm, like, butchering these names.
Japanese names are hard.
Yeah. Takeshi Tsuchiya is the chief of the...
That sounded pretty good, I'm not gonna lie.
Thank you. Thank you. He's the chief of the Sehu Police Station. That sounds like it could either be Japanese or Native American. Sehu?
I'm gonna assume that it's Japanese.
It's obviously Japanese, but I'm saying the way it pronounced it could either be one of two ways. He was the designated person in charge of the investigation up until his, retirement. He still goes to, like, all the stuff. Yeah. In 2015, Anne Ear, which is the older sister of Asuku Maezawa, filed a complaint to the Broadcast and Human Rights and Other Related Rights Committee, of the Broadcasting Ethics and Program Improvement Organization after she claimed that a TV documentary that aired in 2014 misrepresented her. After a TV reporter and ex-FBI agent used her profiling to back a theory that the killer murdered the family out of resentment.
Okay.
So, like, they're basically saying, like, you used our family's name. Which,
right.
And I can see in, like, the Japanese culture, like, that's, like, really
big. Well, because, like, it's, like, honor. Right. Honor everything. For, like, family and stuff. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And the last thing I have to say is that in, this is, like, the last little tidbit, was that in 2019, the TMPD announced that the Maezawa house will be torn down. Because its age and risk of collapsing, with the interior already showing signs of deterioration. The move was appealed by the family and supporters, and all evidence related to the case remains in custody.
Right.
And there has been no killer found.
That's, like...
So. Yeah.
Pretty wild.
A lot of the, speculation is that it was a half, like, European person.
Yeah.
And that the person just fled Japan, and that's why. So.
I feel like.
Yeah, they have a lot of evidence in order
just, like,
to
just, like, not, get. Like, have anything. Yeah.
Well, I think they just can't find the person.
I mean, I guess, but, like.
And I guess they haven't found the right person in Europe or New York or wherever. Like, you know, America.
Anywhere, yeah.
Right. So, yeah, this person has gone for no reason, really.
It's, like, wild.
Yeah, and I didn't really go into, like, the theories behind it, like, you know, the whole resentment theory. I didn't even look up, like, why someone could have resented them, but, because there's no point. Like,
yeah,
you're going to go into all these theories for what? There's no,
you don't even know
there's
if
no
it's, like,
killer,
true.
So. Yeah, so there you go. That's what I have for you.
Interesting. I don't remember that.
Really?
Yeah.
It is a Crime Junkies episode, which I'm sure is much better than mine, so if you want to listen to
that.
Probably
not. Fuck Crime Junkies.
So, stop. We like Crime Junkies.
I do.
So.
I actually want to buy something from their store.
The pink sweatshirt?
No, but that is cute too.
I'm obsessed with it. But I refuse because their sizing is so fucked up.
Oh, really?
They're through, like, there's, like, because I'm a big girl, I need the big size, and it doesn't, even the big size isn't, like, true to, like, what it is, what
my,
it should be.
That's true, because my Crime Junkie sweatshirt that I have a medium, because I like things to fit big.
Yeah.
And it fits, like, a small.
Yeah. It's, like, annoying.
No, but I want the t-shirt that's, like, I went to the crime lab, and all I got was this t-shirt and some inconclusive evidence. I was like, yo.
I think it's closed now, though.
Probably.
It probably is, but, yeah, so, that's all.
Anyway.
Yeah. I guess that's it for you guys. That was a long one, wasn't it?
That was good.
Oh, yeah.
46 minutes.
Oh, look at that. We kept it under an hour for you guys. All right. Follow us on Instagram.
FIB Podcast.
Hit us up on Facebook.
Futures Bright Podcast.
Send us a Gmail.
Futuresbrightpod@gmail.com.
Subscribe to our YouTube.
Futures Bright Pod, maybe?
We're working on it.
TikTok, FIB Podcast.
Oh, yeah. We went to do one for the Screamers, and then we didn't do it.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Yeah, that's fine.
I just haven't had time, but now I have time, because my class is over, so
oh, is
I
got all
time in the world, yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
TikTok is hard. I can't figure that out.
I gotta figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, all the tips and tricks, but I'll figure it out.
I can't do it. I don't have the energy for that. I'm too old for
yeah,
that.
I probably don't have the energy either, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm drinking out of the straw, and I think it's gross on the inside.
Don't look.
Is that bad? Just, if I drink black mold, is that bad?
You might get sick.
Should I stop drinking out of the straw?
No, I mean, I feel like the damage is already done. To be honest.